الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Please straighten your rules. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after remaining dua and durood, the tafsir in English will take place. All brothers are requested to participate. Jazakallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لإيلاف قريش إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف صدق الله العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله اصطفى كنانة من ولد إسماعيل واستفى قريشا من كنانة واستفى من قريش بني هاشم واصطفاني من بني هاشم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. 2 weeks ago we learnt about the tafsir and the story behind Surah Al-Fil, and immediately after this surah we have Surah Quraysh, which is so closely connected in terms of meaning and in terms of education with Surah Al-Fil, that many scholars are of the opinion that before the Quran was compiled by Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, there were many other copies of the Holy Quran, and in many of these copies, both of these surahs were actually one surah, and there was no Bismillah to differentiate between the two. This is how closely connected the two surahs are. However, when Hazrat Uthmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala an carried out the work of the compilation of the Holy Quran, and he cancelled all the other existing copies of the Holy Quran, the copy chosen by Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an was the one that had a bismillah differentiating between the two. And in terms of education, Surah Quraysh is all about, as it's named, it's all about the Quraysh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is educating us and explaining to us that Allah has given the Quraysh a very special place amongst mankind. The first reason is the obvious point, that the greatest man to ever walk on the face of this earth, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, came from this family. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes on to explain in a hadith that I just recited, that from the children of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored, or he chose, the family of Kinana. And from Kinana, he chose Quraysh. And from Quraysh, he chose Banu Hashim. And from Banu Hashim, he chose me. Yani, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from this we already understand that the Quraysh have a very special status above everybody else. Another hadith comes to mind, whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that al-imaratu min Quraysh, that leadership should always also exist within the Quraysh as well. And so the whole message of this surah is that Allah is showing us and explaining to us that the Quraysh have a higher status than other tribes and other clans. And so we understood this same or similar message from Surah Al-Fil, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala educated us that if anybody was to declare war upon the Haram, upon the Kaaba, Allah Himself will deal with this threat personally. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen the Quraysh, the family of the Quraysh, to be the guardians and the custodians of this holy place. So they go together, hand in hand, that this very, very blessed place, the family that Allah chose to look after this place, they also have a very high status, higher than other tribes and other clans. Moving on to the actual surah, Makkah Mukarrama came into existence when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Sayyidina Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam to take his infant child Hazrat Ismail ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam and his respected wife Hajar alayhi salam he commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to go and leave them in the middle of a desert. And Ibrahim alayhi salam took his respected wife Hajar alayhi salam and he took Sayyidina Ismail ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, who was just an infant child, and he left them in the middle of this desert. And there was nothing there at the time. It wasn't like Makkah is today. Makkah is a city that never sleeps. You go there, alhamdulillah, all year round, the place is full. There was a time when there used to be peak times and off-peak times. Now, the whole year is peak time. Wherever you go after Ramzan, whatever it is, the place is, alhamdulillah, it's full of people worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, there was a time when this place was just desert. It was sand and hills and nothing else. There was no trees, there was no water. It was a barren piece of land and it was a barren desert. And this is where Allah commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to leave his family. And the story is a famous story, I don't want to go into it. But this is when Makkah, which was previously known as Bakka, came into existence, when the Jurhum tribe, they saw that Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam was living there, and they realized that there was a source of water there, and they joined with her permission, and then they began to live there, and then the family grew bigger, and then the history goes on. The Jurhum tribe were banished from Makkah, and the story goes on and on. But the fact of the matter is that for many years, for a very long period of time, the people of Makkah had a struggle to survive. Because of the place where Makkah was situated, there was no produce coming out of the land. There was just water. And so they struggled, they would struggle. Until a time came when the great-grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the father of Abdul Muttalib, Hashim, he devised a plan to secure the existence of the people of Makkah and to save them from dying out. And this plan was that in the summer they would go north. In the last tafsir lesson we mentioned about a little bit about the geography of Makkah, and in when you go north of Makkah, you have north of Arabia, you have Sham. And so this place, Sham, in the summer it's nice and hot, and in the winter it's extremely cold. If you go to Palestine, for example, in the winter time, it gets really cold. You need to wear, coat and at times in Syria, it snows as well. So in the summer, they would make a business trip to Sham, to Syria, and they would buy food and produce and things that would last them for 6 months. And in the winter, they would go down south to Yemen. The reason they couldn't go Yemen in the summer was because it was too hot. Even for the Arabs of Makkah, it was too hot. And in the winter, Yemen is still warm as well. So the climate suited them. So in the winter, they would go down to Yemen for this trip. They would buy lots of produce and items. And like this, twice a year, they would make these trips. And through the barakah of these trips, the people of Hashim, he would distribute these items amongst the people of Makkah to a point where even the poor, the people who were considered poor within Makkah, they also became like in the same social status as the rich people because of the wealth and the barakah that these two trips bore. And another point is that because the people of Makkah had the status of Khadimul Haram, they had the status of being the custodians of the Kaaba. Remember, the Kaaba had a very high status amongst the Arabian people because they all had a lot of respect and love and reverence for Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And this is how far this reverence and this respect for Makkatul Mukarramah and for the Kaaba, it goes back. And so because these people had the status of being the custodians of Makkatul Mukarramah, when anybody who would undertake journeys, especially journeys wherein they were carrying lots of wealth, they were at risk of being attacked by bandits, by robbers, because this was the nature of Arabia. It was a desert. And these robbers and bandits, they would stay in certain places where the path goes by a mountainside, for example, or and they would hide in the mountains, and when people would go past, they would attack them and they would steal everything. However, because of the status of being the custodians of the Holy Kaaba, whenever the people of Quraysh would undertake these trips, the moment the bandits used to see that these are people of Quraysh, these are the people of Makkah, they would say, "No, we can't touch you." Because of their status. And the story of the people of the elephants further reiterated and solidified their status and their security when they would make these trips. Remember what happened to the people of the elephants? They tried to attack the people of Makkah, and we can't touch these people. They are the people of Allah, they are the people of Makkah, they are the people of the Kaaba. So they had this security. And this was a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this blessing, this protection, number one, the protection during the journeys, and number two, this favor of Allah upon the people of Makkah, that Allah helped them survive by making these trips easy for them. This is what is mentioned in this surah of Surah Quraysh. And then the ulama go on and say that further to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave so much barakah around the places around Makkah that it came to a point where they had more produce than they needed. So then they would also sell. So then further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even cancelled out the need to make these two long trips in the summer and the winter. Allah cancelled that need out as well. And they would just go to these places that were very close to Makkah and Jeddah as well. And they would buy their produce. So in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining the favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did upon the Quraysh, and also to the purpose is to further reiterate and further to emphasize the status of the Quraysh upon other tribes. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِإِلَى فِي قُرَيْشِ. Literal translation would be for the familiarity or for the accustomization of the Quraysh. Now this seems to be a half sentence, or it seems like we've just jumped into the middle of a sentence here. So what is the explanation to this? The ulama give many explanations. One of the most famous explanations is that I'm definitely sure I've mentioned in one of the previous sessions as well, that in Arabic you have something called
mahzuf ibadah, where certain parts of a sentence are not mentioned. Even we have this in English as well, where sometimes you'll say a few words, but the meaning is a lot more. I can't think of an example right now. For example, if you might just say, how's it going? So the how's it going actually has a lot more meaning than how are you, how's your family, or it might have more context to it. How's your business, etc., etc. But we don't put all of these things into words. We just say a short sentence. So it's similar to this. So what is this missing sentence? So the first opinion, the most famous opinion is that the actual sentence is, "Inna ahlakna ashab al-fili li'ila fi Quraysh." That verily we destroyed the people of the elephants so that the Quraysh could become accustomed, or the Quraysh could become familiar to what? Ilafihim rihlat ash-shita'i was-sayf. They could become accustomed or familiar to the rihla, to the travel of the winter and the summer. Shita means winter and sayf means summer. So is a whole sentence, long sentence that goes across. Verily, we destroyed the people of the elephants for the familiarity or the accustomization of the Quraysh, their accustomization to the journeys of the summer. And I've already explained how the two are connected, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the people of the elephant. So the reputation of the people of Makkah were even stronger and became even more stellar amongst the people. So their security along these routes became even more strong, and they were easily able to carry out these journeys. Another point that I've mentioned before as well, that we find this trend in the Holy Quran, that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a favor upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or upon the ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will immediately after command the mukhatab, command the audience to then do shukr of this ni'mah, and to be thankful to Allah for this ni'mah. And the greatest means and the greatest way that we can be thankful is by doing ibadah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the audience, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. And so they should worship the Lord of this house. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding that we have made you accustomed to the journeys of the summer and the winter. We have saved you from starvation and from hunger. We have given you favor upon all the other clans. So in return, you should worship the Lord of this house. There are two things here. First thing is that we have to bring it into context. The verse is being revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at a time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling the people of Makkah to Tawheed and Wahdaniyah, and to oneness of Allah. And the people of Makkah are involved in shirk. They are worshipping idols. So two things here. The first thing is, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Worship the Lord. Allah is also calling the people of Makkah towards Tawheed. I've given you all of these favors. In return, worship me alone. The second point that we can take out from this verse is, why has, previously we had Rabbi Falak, Rabbi Nas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned his own, described himself in many different ways, in many different areas. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described himself as Rabba hadhihi al-bayt. And the reason for this is because the source of all of the favors upon the Quraysh, the source of their greatness, the source of their respect, the source of their reputation, the source of their status, is all based upon the Kaaba. If it was not for the Kaaba being in Mecca, they would not have this status. Mecca would not be the place that it is today. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating towards this fact by describing himself as the Lord of the Kaaba. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again mentions some favors upon the Quraysh. Allah says, الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ So, at the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions favors. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands to be thankful for these favors through worship. And then again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of even more favors upon the Quraysh. الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ The one who fed them. أَطْعَمَهُمْ He fed them مِنْ جُوعٍ and saved them from hunger. جُوع means hunger. وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ And he gave them peace from fear. And he gave them aman. Aman means peace. Now, two things here that have already been mentioned. Allah is indicating towards them. أَلَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating towards the fact that there was a time when the people of Mecca could have starved and they could have died out because of the difficulties of the geography of Mecca. Because the fact that Mecca didn't have its own produce. So Allah is indicating towards it. Remember, you were a nation that could have died out. You were a nation that was starving. I made this easy for you. So I fed you. And you are who you are today. You know, the people of Mecca, they were very, very rich. You know, we learn when we look into the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People like Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and the leaders of Mecca, they were very, extremely rich. They were like kings, you know, based on the dynamics of Arabia at the time. These tribal leaders were like kings. They had the status of kings. They had the wealth of kings. They had the power of kings. They had the authority of kings. They were treated like kings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them this from being a nation that could have died out. They were starving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them kings. So, الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ The one who fed them from hunger. وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ And he gave them aman, he gave them peace from fear. And this is an indication to the fact that when people in Arabia would make journeys around Arabia, they always had the risk of being attacked. But here, that's khawf, that's fear. When you're setting out on a journey and you have that fear, that is khawf. You know, we might have experienced a very small portion of this. Very recently we had the marches and there were reports of people and some reports of Muslims specifically being attacked. And we were told, be careful, be vigilant. And certain places in England, there were crazy riots going down. People were being attacked. This is khawf. But generally speaking, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us aman in this country. There are so many countries in the world where there's no aman. For example, there's so many countries where there's war that's taking place. People going down the street, they don't know if they'll get to the end of the street. They might get shot. They might get kidnapped. They might, you know, get abducted. Anything can happen to them. And they live their lives in this state, waking up in the morning not knowing that they might get to sleep at night. Going to sleep at night not knowing if they even wake up in the morning. Entering the house not knowing if that'll be the last time they enter the house. Exiting the house not knowing if they're going to come back to a house. In this country, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us aman. It's a blessing that we don't think of too often. He has given us a very, very easy life. When we compare ourselves to the difficulties that are experienced by other people in the world. And sometimes just for a very short period of time. Inshallah these riots and everything, they'll blow over and everything will be okay again, inshallah. And this is our disposition at all times. Generally speaking, how often is it that we are leaving the house in fear? Very, very rarely. And even then we have security. We have security of cars. We have the ability to call the police. We have so many different things in place. You know, we live in places like Blackburn. It's full of Muslims and things like that. And that's a level of security as well. But this is just for a temporary time. There are places in the world where this state of khawf, of fear, is there all the time. And we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this blessing. And we should make dua for the people of these places. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them aman as well. Just like He gave the Quraysh aman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that, you know, just like every other clan and tribe in Arabia, when they travel, they are at risk of being attacked. But you, O Quraysh, you are protected by your reputation that I bestowed upon you and I favored you with. So Allah says, وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ, and He protected them and He gave them aman from fear. The ulama go on to say, and to conclude, the ulama go on to say that these two things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions are the greatest blessings in the world. If anybody, any individual in the whole world has these two things, his life is good. You don't need anything else. Number one, you have food to survive on. And number two, you are safe. Think about it. The ulama say that you have these two things, food to survive on, and you are safe. What else do you need? We don't need anything else. Everything else is just surplus. And so this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned these two specific favors. The ulama go on to say that if a time comes, may Allah protect everybody, if a time comes when you have your security is gone, or you are living in a state of fear, or you are scared of hunger, the ulama say that we should constantly read this surah, Leela fi Quraysh, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill our needs. And especially at this time, again going back to the situation today, and inshallah it will soon finish, but there are places where, you know, there are certain groups that are attacking people and they're causing riots. So especially during these days, we should constantly pray this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the barakah of this, will protect us. The ulama say that, for example, the author of Tafsir Mazhari, Qadi Thanaullah Panipati Rahimullah, mentions that his sheikh, Sheikh Qadi Mazhar Jani Jana Rahimullah, would often teach him this. That when you are going through a difficult time, you should read this surah. And the ulama say that this, we have experienced it ourselves, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected us from all harms and all difficulties. And so we should, during these times, and I suppose at all times as well, we should constantly try to pray this surah all the time. So Allah protects us, our families, our friends, our communities, and the whole ummate Muslimah. And so this is the last surah of that we're doing, of the last 10 surahs. Now, initially, the ulama had asked me to start off with the surah al-Fatiha and the last 10 surahs. And alhamdulillah, I have, you know, enjoyed myself very much. And so I don't know going forward what the mashwara is. Inshallah, we'll do mashwara with our respected Imam Hazrat Mufti Abdullah Sahib, Damal Barakatuhum, and Hazrat Mufti Yusuf Mayat Sahib. And inshallah, we will hopefully continue. Why stop? You know, we've done 10 surahs, why stop? So inshallah, maybe after a couple of months or something like that, we will continue with the tafsir. No doubt, at the moment there's nothing confirmed or nothing concrete, there's no plans yet. However, inshallah, when the decision is made, when we will continue the date and everything, the time, as obviously summer is starting to, the Asr time is changing, Maghrib is coming earlier. So all of this, inshallah, if we will continue, then it will be confirmed by the Imam Sahib, inshallah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for firstly giving us this opportunity to have some connection with the Holy Quran. I personally thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing me to take my time out and to do some revision and do some mutala and prepare some notes. Honestly, every second that I've spent, it's better than the rest of my life, because this time is spent in gaining the knowledge of the Holy Quran and developing a connection and love for the Holy Quran as well. We thank yourselves for sitting and participating every week. We thank all the sisters and mothers that are listening at home and online for also listening. I personally request that everybody makes dua for me and for everybody else as well, that we all are blessed with the true teachings of the Holy Quran and the true love for the Holy Quran, and we are blessed with a life that is full of amal, and the correct amal upon the Holy Quran. I make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives any mistakes that I have made. I am human, and at times I might have said something that was wrong, and inshallah, if I have made any mistakes, then anybody is welcome to approach me, and inshallah, at a future opportunity, I can make these mistakes correct. It's happened once or twice at the beginning where someone mentioned that, I think you made a mistake here, and alhamdulillah, I managed to go back and repair these mistakes. But we first of all pray that Allah protect us from making mistakes, and Allah give us the ability to own up to our mistakes and then go and make the relevant reparations. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the true love and the true ilm and true amal of the Holy Quran. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, I'll do a short dua. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله على نيته وسره اللهم لا نسي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا زدنا علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا رب.